about using and I can use safely. See, I don't advocate the use of drugs. I'm not one to say, man, that if I could use again, if I could shoot some more dope or snort some coke or smoke some coke or drink a 40 or take a Senequan or take a Valium, that I do it and nobody else won't know it. I know it and my disease know it. That's what I'm talking about, believing in what I can't see and what I can see. See, I believe in the unknown. But this program set it all up for me. The steps set it all up for me to believe in the unknown. Because how can you come in here? How can I come in? I'm keeping it on me. How can I come in here and just by words, y'all give me some encouraging words, lose the desire to stop using, man? Goodness gracious, man. Just by some words. Not no Senequans, not no medication. Just by some words, by keep coming back. And just keep coming back. More will be revealed. First, second, and third step, my foundation. Fourth step, looking at me, finding out about who I truly am. Not about what I did yesterday, but what I did yesterday, and what I'm doing today. And then whether I'm going to keep on doing what I'm doing today. Yeah, my disease is still listening. I got a friend of mine, a good friend of mine, and I heard him say this statement. In this program, you can use other people's statements so you ain't riding on nobody's coattails or nothing like that. He said he always said this disease checks in to see whether he's ready to check out every single day. I got another partner of mine, and the literature says it's about being vigilant, that this is a 24-hour disease. This is a 24-hour program. I never have a chance to rest, for real. Everybody know about the disease doing push-ups. So I'm not one to go to the gym and jump up and down, do jumping jacks. I did that when I was in service. I had to do that when I was in the service at that time. And what I do now to keep my disease in its place is I trust in something greater than myself, man. That's the first thing. And then I use the tools that's been given to me. That's the literature. That's my sponsor. That's the people in my life. I just told you about my wife, and my wife is in recovery, so I'm right on time. I've been blessed, man. And then I know about this thing about my disease, because see, not that I'm better than anybody, not that I'm so well informed, but the literature is for everybody. It ain't no whole lot of hard, long words. And then if I don't understand a word, I can look it up in a dictionary and find a definition that I understand. I ain't got to find a definition that you understand. And if it fits me, man, then I identify with it. And I got five things that I do because of this program, man. And it's because of this program. Then I was saying, damn, I can say four of them. I can't say all five. How can I remember all five of them? And then something just hit me and say, man, you ain't living all five of them. That's why you can't say all five of them. That's the problem. See, this program is so, if you ain't doing what you're supposed to be doing, it'll tell on you. No job. You can fake it all you want to, but it'll tell on you if you ain't doing what you're supposed to be doing. So I say, well, I'm going to start practicing what I'm talking about, man, because I really don't want to use again. I really don't want to sleep in no more oil joints. I like matching up, man, today. I like having the right color, because it didn't matter when I was using. I have on two pair of pants, and both of the pants have holes in them, and a shirt that didn't match. I remember coming out the house, just to get out the house, man. I had a pants two sizes too big on me. The belt was tied around me. And then I'm wondering about why is he bothering me? I looked apart, man. On a Sunday, uptown, on the corner, trying to get down. I mean, a Sunday, like, after 5 o'clock. Why are the police bothering me? Because I'm in a neighborhood where I don't even live at. I don't even have an address up there. And I'm on the corner trying to make a car stop to buy something, illegal product, just to put some, to buy another illegal product, just to go on a place where nobody lives at, to try to get this stuff in me. That's the way I live, man. And these five things, man, I live realistically today. That's one of them. I give generously. I trust fearlessly. I adapt willingly. I ain't bucking no more. Number five is I rejoice daily, man, because of this program. Because of this program, I rejoice daily. Because, see, today is all I have. And I am truly, man, no, it's no joke, I am truly in love with life, man. So if I'm in love with life, why would I want to use again? Why would I want to advocate the use of drugs? Why wouldn't I want to help somebody? They say that when you come in and say, man, the only way you can keep what you have, Bernard, is to give it away. Simple as that. Not the street thing. You got $10 in your pocket, and I give you my $10, I'm dead broke. They say, then you leave that stuff outside because that don't work in here. They talking about something spiritual, man. They talking about me giving and not expecting nothing in return. Not expecting, because I give you a hug and acknowledge you and tell you I love you, for you to tell me you love me back. That ain't it. For me to tell you I love you for the meaning in here and not worry about how you perceive me today. Another man, another woman. For me to help you, to open up, to put a little stick in the door for you like somebody put it in for me. But I can't stand and hold a door for you because then I miss my blessing. But I put a stick in there, man. When you come through that door, have open arms to show you, man, this is how I did it. And if you want what I have, this is how you can do it. But the key to this is you got to want it. The key to this is you got to realize, and now I got to realize that I have a disease that is undetectable to other people only until I start doing bad. Only until doing bad don't even mean like you got to get down to the bottom for me. It means as soon as I start shooting dope, 1 is too many. See, the list here, man, it's so simple. 1 is too many, 1,000 never enough. 1 is too many. And I ain't trying to wait till I get to that point where I'm wearing them 2 pair of pants again and both of them got holes in them. 1 shot of dope is too many. 1, the stinking thinking is too many. Me thinking I can do it a different way. That I ain't got to shoot no dope this time. I can snort some coke or I can take it and go uptown and get a little somebody else's product and sell it to somebody else. Man, that's illegal. You can get locked up for that. For real. You get shot for that. You can get beat up for that. I ain't trying to get none of that no more. See, so I'm staying in touch with, man, that I do have a disease, man. And I know it's listening. And I know it's listening for me to say the complain about things. I know it's listening for me to, man, to be discontent. I know it's listening for me to, man, say, man, I can't, but I know I can. But do I really honestly and truly, man, in here? Because that's what it says, the inside job. It ain't about the outside. It's about getting the inside clean for the gentleman to come in that'll help you. Because, see, my high power's a gentleman. And he ain't coming in uninvited. And he ain't coming into a dirty house. He ain't coming into it. I don't care how long you've been here. And that's what my sponsor told me. I don't care how long you've been here. If you don't straighten up on the inside, Jack, you're going to use again. And the only way I can straighten up on the inside, man, is to use the tools that's been given to me, the steps of this program, man, the literature, people, man, people. Be willing to help somebody else. Each one teach one, each one help one. That's how this program works, man. This program ain't nothing about love, man. I mean, if you really look at it. Look at all of us in here, man. It ain't nothing but about love. It ain't nothing about me wanting to be given to you, man, and hoping, man, that you can get what I have. Not get what I have, but to feel the way I feel, man. Goodness gracious, on the inside. The man, I have jumped the moon at age 53. I'll be 53 in September, man. Only by God's grace, I got almost 10 years clean. And nobody don't care about that but me, for real, and my baby. That's y'all. And my children now. My children, man, they are ecstatic. My grandchildren. See, this thing is spiritual, man. My grandchildren call me granddaddy and pop-pop. And I'm just coming into my three grandsons' life, man. I've been over 3 years. And they, like I've been there all along. Man, I ain't trying to lose that, man. I'm not trying to lose nothing that I have. I know the results of my disease because it's my disease. I identify with it. I know what it'll do to me again. I know that I have to think positive. That's not saying that every day going to be a good day. But just because it's raining outside don't mean it's a bad day. Just because I ain't got no money in my pocket means it's a bad day. 11th step says with or without money, with or without a woman, with or without a place to stay, I can be all right. See, the steps lead me straight to the self-assurance, the self-security, and everything that I really need, for real. And everything that I really have is just temporary. I'm just like somebody smoking a cigarette and the smoke go up in the air. I ain't say no crack. I say smoking a cigarette and the smoke going up in the air and the smoke dissipates. That's it. I'm just here for a short time. So what do I want to do with my life today, y'all? That's the question I ask myself. What do I want to do with my life today? Do I want to truly, honestly, and truly be happy? Not be happy because of what I have, but be happy because of what's inside, what's been given to me through the program of Narcotics Anonymous, through the literature that tells me, man, that I have a right to be here, that I should be thinking of myself as being special, not being conceited. I'm special, man. Now, if y'all don't think that about yourself, that's on y'all. I am truly special. I know that today, man. I am truly special. Only because of this program. Only because of my willingness to give up of what I thought I had to hold on to for so long and was putting blisters on my hands, man. I had to hold on to this. I ain't never had no image, but I'm talking about the using. I never thought that I was a tough guy. Never thought that I was better than anybody else. I just wanted to get high. And I probably was in the way of a lot of other people, but that's all I wanted to do. And the literature just explains that, man. I said, who is an addict? Bernard. That's all I wanted to do. That's all I wanted to do. And the ways I did it, man, it's illegal. That it's immoral. It's self-defeating. It lowers your self-esteem. All those things I've gotten back only through the grace of God. I ain't trying to do nothing illegal. I'm not trying to do nothing immoral anymore. I'm not trying to do nothing self-defeating anymore. I'm just trying to live my life. I got a partner that told me, said, man, all these things that you're expressing right now, they was already inside of you. They was already there. All I needed to do was surrender. Goodness gracious. Damn. All I needed to do was say, man, I can't do this no more. I can't shoot no more dope, man. I can't do this no more. I can't do this. And then to look at others, I ain't doing it to me. And recognize that you're doing it to other people. You're hurting other people, man. Recognize, man, that it ain't on you all. It ain't about you no more, no way, no how, no shape, no form. It's about somebody else, man. It's about making yourself available as a power, as an example of the power, not a power of example, but example of the power that this program gives each and every one of us, man, that really wants it, man. Yeah, my disease is still listening, man. It's listening right now. And especially it's going to listen when I go back to my little house with my wife and all this. Because, the picture is painted, smiling and all that stuff. But it ain't like that all the time, man, between us, man. But it ain't so bad, man. Because, see, I know today, man, that I can't change nobody. They're going to steps again. I can't control nobody. That if I said I do this time, I really do. I got to take just what's what. I got to accept her for whatever. And if I look at her character defects, I better take a look at mine. That's a lick. Man, my life is so simple because of this program. I ain't jiving, man. I don't have a care in the world. I don't complain. I don't worry about anything. I'm not afraid of anybody. I don't mean I'm Mike Tyson. Mike Tyson lost, too. But so that's what, see, anybody can lose. But that don't mean I don't fear anything, man, because of this program. I'm not afraid. I'm not afraid to talk about, to expose me, to let you know who I am. I'm not afraid of that anymore because you can't do nothing to me. I'm the only one. I'm the only one who can put a hype in my arm again. I'm the only one who can put that pipe up to my mouth. You can't make me do that. And until I came to grips with that, man, that it was me, and then you come here and say, man, even if you feel like using, you ain't got to use. Goodness gracious. That's words. That ain't nothing that I've said, something the literature said. That ain't no somebody saying, well, here's a prescription, Bernard, like they used to write. If you got a toothache, you ain't got to shoot no dope. Put a little bit of coke on it and it'll take the pain away. If you can't get no dope or no coke today, get a fifth of Wild Irish Rose or some Odessa. Or take a Cinequan. And if you want to go to sleep, take a Valium. Not a number 5, take a number 10. Take two, yeah. Don't take one, take two. Yeah. Man, this program, man, is just giving me the information that I truly, truly, truly need to live life on life terms, man. And not say, why me no more. When I talk to some of my partners, man, and the first thing come out of my mouth and I'm not complaining, they say, you better not. They say, you better not complain. I don't have, why should I complain? If I just look at the most important thing, man, that was given to me through the steps, my story. My story, man. Goodness gracious. I got the greatest story ever told. You know why? Because it talks about Bernard. Don't talk about nobody else. It talks about Bernard, man. I ain't that same person, y'all. I don't need nobody to tell me that. I can look in the mirror, Jack. Not even look in the mirror, I can feel it inside without a mirror. Now, ain't that spiritual, man? I can feel it inside that I'm not the same person, man. That I don't need a drug or shadow dope or somebody's compliments or a room full of people, man, to feel good about me. I don't need that. All I need is inside of me. And I didn't find that out until I came in here. That, Bernard, you cannot improve on that which is made perfect. And I was made perfect from birth. Goodness gracious, that's so simple, man. But I tried to improve on it. Getting high, which led me to getting low. And then getting low. And then getting low. And then not knowing that in that mix, I drew everybody into that mix, man, that really cared something about me. But here come the steps again. I got a way not to eradicate that, but I got a way, man, to straighten it. First of all, it begins with me. It begins and ends with me, what I'm doing today. Most important of all, I ain't shooting no dope, I ain't snorting no coke, and I'm not advocating the use of drugs. You ain't going to hear that from me. I ain't going to tell you if I can shoot some dope or somebody got some blow or I can do it a different way, I would do it. I know about love today, y'all. Anything that I love, I'm going to take care of. At one time I did. I thought, you know, I heard people say, I ain't never loved shooting dope. I just like getting high. I just like the feeling, man. And then I couldn't, then I had to have this feeling even when I didn't want it. Goodness gracious, man. I had to do this even when I didn't even want to do it, man. That's my disease. Yeah, still listening. Because it wanted to get me in that fix again. Want to get me in that fix again, in that mix again, man, where I could get lost again. But I refuse to, just for today, I refuse to use, man. I'd like to thank this committee for giving me an opportunity to share my experience, strength, and hope. And I thank y'all for your patience and tolerance.
And Pauline, I'm going to add it. For our second speaker, we're going to have Missy.
Hi, my name is Mitz and I'm an addict. When they asked me to do this meeting, I really wasn't real happy about it. I really wanted to say no. I was coming to the convention, but my intention was to come down here, laugh, joke, play, have a lot of fun. And if by chance I get to roll into a meeting, then that would be fine. But I didn't want to be responsible for doing anything. Because then that meant I had to be calm and not all agitated in the head. And in order for me, and I know my disease listens. The longer you stay around, the more it listens, the harder it listens, and the more seductive it is in the way that it comes after you. When I first got here, it was real simple because I lived in Southeast. The dope man still was my resident manager. Everybody in my neighborhood I used with. So I knew what I had to do. Had to go to meetings every day. I couldn't stay home. I couldn't come home until I was too tired to do anything but go to sleep. And I did that rigorously, just like they said. When I came around, I was 38 years old, and my life was not no joke. I didn't have no room to play, so nobody told me anything about going to 90 meetings in 90 days. I was not a light case. They told me to go to a lot of meetings, you know. So I used to leave my house at 12 noon, and I didn't come back home until 11 o'clock at night. And I didn't stop me. I didn't even speak to the people in my neighborhood because that's how my disease was on my back. I couldn't afford to even speak to them because I didn't hold conversations with them. You know, all I had to do was just be there for 5 seconds and it was on because dope was one thing, but that crack took me places I never dreamed that I would go, you know. I stopped taking baths. I used to take baths when I got high with dope. See, it wasn't that bad. Because you could get a bag of dope, and then the day was upset. That crack is a 24-hour job. You don't get no sleep. You don't have time to go to the bathroom, where really you don't need to go because you ain't eating nothing. And I'm not going to wash, because the only water I had, I put baking soda in it. And it didn't go on my body. But after I was around here for a while and things started to get better, you know, like they say, we become productive members of society and we get more and more responsibility. And my neighbors, they don't know nothing about Narcotics Anonymous. They just think I'm just a person. The people on my job, they don't know nothing about Narcotics Anonymous. They think I've been like I am today. They probably think I've been like that forever. They don't have a clue. So, and then I don't live in Southeast anymore. You know, I'm a student. I go to college. You know, I get good ratings, you know, performance evaluations at my job. You know, I go to work every day, almost. See, because I can be off now. I can be off and still get paid because I'm a responsible employee. They like me, you know, because they don't have to look for me. See, they used to have to, when I was working at World Bank, they used to have to look for me because I would be in the bathroom. Me and my pipe and a blowtorch would be in the bathroom. I ain't even care. People come in there, what's that smell? What's that smell? I'm in there. I'm at work. But that's how bad I had it. You know, that was before I just went on home, you know. But now I go to work and they can find me. Because sometimes I don't even go to lunch. Not because I'm a slave. I go to lunch so I can leave work early. I ain't crazy. I don't mean I stay there and don't get paid working through my lunch hour. No, I ain't stupid. I go to work straight through so I can leave early. I go in at 7 and 3, I'm out of there. You know, because we don't get paid for our lunch hour. But my instructors at my school, they like me. They keep trying to push me to do things. Well, see, my disease tell me I can't do it. You know, see, because my disease know that the first hurt that I ever had outside of my house was when I wanted to go to school and them teachers told me I couldn't go. Not because I wasn't qualified, but because of my socioeconomic status. See, I was a poor, black, southern girl, and I just wasn't supposed to go to college. It wasn't meant for me. So they said, you go over here and you take that typing test. That crushed my heart. So now that I'm 50 and I'm trying to go to college, my disease keep telling me, you know you're crazy. You know you're getting old, you can't remember nothing. And you think I study harder, don't you? Nope. My disease told me, ain't no use to read the book. Why don't you look at court TV? Why don't you look at Seinfeld and Frasier? The VCR ain't as good. Why don't you just look at that? Why don't you sit up all night and look at TV all night? I should have been studying. So ain't no use me feeling like no fool when I got a 54 on that test. You know, my disease told me them people not giving you that evaluation at your job because they're getting ready to fire you. They ain't going to give you no raise. See, and usually what I do, I won't stick around and see what the outcome going to be. I quit. This is the kind of stuff my disease tell me. It'll sabotage my life. It don't bring no dope to me, see, because they know I'm scared of dope. My disease know that. My disease know I'm scared of coke, so it won't bring that at me. It come at me in other ways. It try to sabotage my life. So when I'm humiliated and embarrassed, then I won't show up. I won't show up for life. My disease know I want to go to church. I've been to church. So it keeps making me sit there on Sunday and don't get up. Don't call Jeanette. Jeanette don't want to be bothered with you. She tired of coming to pick you up and giving you rides. So I just sit there with me and the devil in the TV. Don't call your sponsor. She don't want to be bothered with you. You know you're crazy. And don't tell me I can't talk about this because I am dual diagnosed. I wrote the world service before I got here because I done had lip service from some unintelligible people before about telling me what I can and can't talk about in a meeting. There are people running around here that need a little bit more than the 12 steps, and I am one of them. The 12 steps are good, but they can't solve all my problems. I have a brain disorder that makes my thinking, if you think you're thinking bad, I got the thinking of an addict and the thinking of a person with a bipolar disorder. That means that my brain receptors don't work real well. So I'm subject to do anything. So I got two diseases on my back, okay? I do not take mind-altering chemicals. So I am clean. I got 12 years and you can't take it from me. I work real hard for it and can't nobody take it from me but me. And my disease is on my back twice as hard as yours is 24 hours a day. Because not only is it telling me I'm an addict, it keeps telling me that I'm crazy and I ain't qualified to do certain things. And if I listen for just a little while, I'm out the door. Because one disease feeds off the other. And I am doubly in trouble. Now, I didn't want to come here because I thought I didn't have nothing to say. But thank God Jeanette told me to pray. Because I didn't have a clue. But God uses me. And that much I know. But I don't know it all the time. A lot of times I still think I ain't worthy. I think I ain't got nothing to offer because I ain't sponsoring nobody. But everybody don't give it back the same way. Some people sponsor people. Some people do service work. And some people just share as openly and honestly as they can. And that's all I got. And that's what I got to give. Now, I try real hard. Now, my disease also told me, don't go down there to that meeting on Saturday because you need to stay home and study. I stay home and look at TV. Them books all around my bed. I done took the computer to the pawn shop to get my nails done. And I ain't read squat. Now I got to go home Sunday and write a 10-page paper for Monday. Now Tuesday, I got to write another 10-page paper for Wednesday. Now, the one for Monday is the research paper, so that means not only do I have to write the paper, I got to read the books. Now, the one I got to write Wednesday is a piece of cake, because that's about me. And I'm quite sure I can crank out 10 pages about me and my gender role. I got enough crap going on with me to write 10 papers. Matter of fact, I might have a little trouble cutting it short at 10 pages. Now, my disease used to come after me at my daughter. My daughter, she's doing fine. That's her, you know, she's going on about her business. Now, you know, I'm 50, and my disease keep telling me I'm getting old. And I've been in a bad relationship for a long, long time. Most of the time since I've been here. Now, this particular person, I don't want to be with him. God knows I don't. And ain't no use to me lying about it, I don't. But my disease told me, you know you're getting old. Even a bad one is better than nothing. That ain't nothing but a setup to use. To have somebody in your house. And you get in a house with somebody that you can't get along with when they're on one end of town and you're on another end of town. And you're going to put them in the same, you're going to get in the same confined space with them. Either I'm going to kill them, they're going to kill me, or we might end up killing ourselves. Because if I use again, I'm going to die. And you know, because I don't think that if I go out and use, some people go out and use and come back and raise up their hand and say, I'm getting a 20. And I don't think I'm going to do that. They just don't seem like me. Because I got false pride and real pride. You know, so I don't think I'll come back in here and tell y'all that. Number one, because y'all talking about me and I ain't even left. So you know I don't want to come back in here and have to tell y'all some bad stuff. You know. But my disease listens on a daily basis. Sometimes it tell me don't pray because God got me. You know, sometimes it tell me not only to take my clean time for granted, it tells me to take God for granted too. You don't have to get down on your knees. He got you. Just talk to him. When the whole idea of behind having a high power is to be humble. No, you know you special. You know God talked to you. You know you're spiritual. See, I haven't forgot about that. The other day I was on the bus and I lost my spirituality when that girl kept giggling. And I was trying to read my book that I should have read the night before. All of 7th Street came out. I done chased the girl off the bus. Off the bus. I'm 50 years old. I'm on the bus. I was so humiliated when I got finished. Because the next day, I get on the bus, and I know this same bus driver ain't going to be there. Because, see, he was on there at 5:19 that other evening. Girl, I got on there at 9:30 in the morning. That same, I had to look that man in the face. I was so humiliated. I was so. He said, I don't think them girls gonna get on this bus no more. He said that was the first time they ever rode my bus. I don't think they gonna ride the bus no more. And God knows I didn't want to tell nobody that I act like that 12 years clean, but I did. Yes, I did. I told that girl. I said, if you don't shut up. You're going to shut up because you're going to be coughing up teeth. I said, the police might come get me, but I'm going to get you. I'm trying to read this book, and she'll let this giggle. She act like this is public transportation. You laugh like you're in your bedroom somewhere. Lord. And my doctor told me I was doing real good. Well, I was doing real good. Last year, she told me, you're doing real good. I'm going to reduce your medication. You don't have to come see me every month. You can come see me every 3 months. Well, let me tell you what my disease told me. You don't have to take that medicine every day. And since my doctor is not under my insurance anymore, she referred me to another doctor. And since I was doing so good, I don't have to call him right away. I think that was in June. I ain't called a man yet because I'm busy. See, because my disease told me I can call him after the semester's over. By the semester's over, my life might be sabotaged. I might not even have no health insurance because I might not have no job. And that same disease was with me when the job went over to Dave and Buster's. And it had an open bar. Now, I told you, I don't want no dope. And I really don't want no crack. But a Miller draft would show taste good. And wouldn't nobody know. Because ain't nobody at my job go to Narcotics Anonymous meeting but that one girl, and she wasn't there. I left Dave and Buster so fast they don't have a clue as to why I left. I just got a free food too. I left some free food. And my disease also told me when I was I didn't smoke a cigarette in 6 years. I gained 30 pounds and guess what I figured out? Not to stop eating. No. Smoke cigarettes. It's too simple to stop eating. Let's smoke some cigarettes. Cigarettes cut your appetite. Fool, can't you stop force feeding yourself potato chips at 12 o'clock at midnight? Especially with a pound of cream cheese. My disease tell me the craziest crap, and sometimes I don't even want to repeat it because I think it ain't saying that kind of stuff to nobody but me. But thank God I got people in my life that'll call me even when I don't call them. And thank God there is always just a one little second where I might have one little second of sanity where I might pick up the phone and call somebody else. And it don't make no difference how long the time span between when I call them and when I don't. They're always receptive. All that crap ain't nowhere but in my head. Now, I didn't want to do this meeting because I said I ain't had nothing to say. And they always say, you're going to do fine. And my disease told me they stupid. They really don't know who they talking to. I'm really trying to get them to tell me what could I talk about. And I'm sick of people thinking that I always got something to say. Pauline said, you got 30 minutes. I said, what's that? She said, she can go for 30 minutes, I know. Of course I can talk for 30 minutes, but I ain't so sure it was going to be understandable. You know? One thing that Bernard Art said, it kind of struck me, Bernard said that it struck me and hit me. He said that one, if you ain't doing it, you can't talk about it. And all the times that I do meetings, they're not always for you. 9 times out of 10, they for me. So if you benefited from it, just thank God. Because I really think that he put me here to do this particular meeting. Because it didn't sound spiritual to me, the title did. Because my disease still is not stupid to me. So I really think it was something that I needed to hear about me and what's going on with my life. I need to get down on my knees and get humble before God a little bit more. I need to stop pretending that I know what's in them books that I'm not opening up. I need to pick up the phone a little bit more and start calling people that I say ain't calling me. And I need to go to meetings and stop pretending that I'm home studying when I don't study till afternoon. I look at the TV. Recess, Pepper, stupid stuff too. Recess, Pepper Ann. And that stuff be coming on the same thing over and over again. And I'm just sitting there looking. You know, but I suffer from depression. And I will sit there and stare at that TV for hours on end and for no reason. Or I sleep all day. Now, I can sleep. I take a bath, go to sleep and take a bath, and I do that all day long. You know, because I spend plenty of money on bath products. And I just load the bathtub up with oil and bubbles and sitting there for 45 minutes and get out and take a nap and get back in there because I'm sweating like a pig. Because I've been sleeping all day, you know. And the other people think, sometimes they think everything, but things are going relatively fine, but they could be better. All my bills are paid, and that's strange for coming to a convention because, you know, I don't know about other people, but I go shopping before I come to a convention. And I lost a little weight, and I needed some new pants. And somebody said something about my baggy pants, and I ain't going to tell you what I said to them because it wasn't real spiritual. But I ain't got no money to go shopping because I paid my bills. My phone bill paid, and I don't even work full-time no more. You know, and that's how I know my disease is on my back. Because, see, God allowed me. When I was going to school and I was having a real hard time because I was working 8 hours a day, I said, I can't do this no more. I'm getting old. I need some rest. So I was at church and I wrote a note and put it in the prayer box. And I said, Dear God, I want to quit my job and go to school full time. Thank you. Love, Mitzi. P.
P.S., I want a car, too. Monday, I went to work, and I told my supervisor, I said, I can't work full-time no more. I need to work part-time. He looked at me like I was stupid. He said, you going to be able to make it off of that? I said, well, I'm going to have to because that's what I'm going to do. He said, well, give me your schedule. So I gave him my schedule. Well, I chopped off 2 hours every day because I had to work at least 30 hours to get health insurance and to get vacation and sick leave. That was Monday. Wednesday, the financial aid people called me. They said, Ms. Germany, you filled your papers out wrong. She said, you wrote down you're a sophomore, you're a junior. She said, I'm going to change the papers and you can get $2,000 more. So that paid my mortgage. So when I get my school money, my school money paid my mortgage. So I know my disease heard that. I know it heard it. Because when the check came in, it told me to go buy me a big screen TV. I ain't got squat to do with school. And the money clearly states it must be used for educational purposes. You know. Girl, if you knew half the crap my disease be telling me, you wouldn't even talk to me. Because you'd realize any information I give you is questionable. The information she's giving herself, I know she ain't going to give me nothing better. Is my 30 minutes up? Because I don't have nothing else to say. Oh, Pauline, I'm so glad she was in charge. I want to thank the committee for asking me to share, and I want to thank God for giving me something to talk about, because out of all the crazy thoughts that I do have and all the crazy things that I do, He always pulled me back to center. I can't do it by myself. You know, He always put the right people in my life, because my inclination is if it's 10 people lined up and it ain't but one in that bunch, I can always pick out the one bad one. Mm-hmm. I can always do that. I'll bypass the 9 good ones every time, you know. But today my life is a little bit better. And if you think your disease is not still listening, just listen to it.